Okay, yesterday we finished Simen Reish Samach Sif Aleph that talked about the preparations for Shabbos and the various preparations such as bathing and cutting one's nails and cutting one's hair. So there is some Piskei Tshuva we haven't done in quite a while. So let's get back to that. There's quite a bit of Piskei Tshuva, as a matter of fact. Okay, talking about bathing the body. Okay. He says, as well as bathing the body, you should bathe the whole body with soap. Although you don't have to be particular about that. In other words, you just go into the shower without soap. You still have washed yourself in honor of Shabbos. It's not brought down any of the poskim. You have to have soap. Just to be bathing in hot water. Okay, however, it would be a good thing to use soap as well. Now, if you have a shortage of water, then at least you should wash your face and your hands in this order, face, hands, and then your hair. And then if that's hot water, then the rest could be with cold water. Now, those who are customary to go to the mikvah, if the mikvah water is hot, that is already included. If you go into a hot mikvah, that's already included in washing your face, hands, and feet in hot water, and you have fulfilled your obligation. But obviously, it's obviously much preferred that beyond the going to the mikvah, you should also wash, take a shower in hot water. Okay, next point. Included in the mitzvah of washing is going to a kosher mikvah on Erev Shabbos, which has a very lofty principle behind it. As he brings down from the Sefer Reishis Chochma, who says that the main thing is that a person has to do on Friday with his body to acquire Kedusha and the extra soul that you get. If you want it to get it in, acquire it, you have to have going to the mikvah, a kosher mikvah, to, in order to strip off your spiritually weekday garment and to put on a spiritual garment of Shabbos. Okay, and that's if you want to receive that, mikveh is critical for that. So if that's our whole goal of Shabbos, then, is to be able to absorb the neshama yisera. So that becomes one of the things we have to do, is to go to the mikveh. Okay, the Chai Adam writes, when a person has the right kavana, and he focuses himself, and the fear of God is in his heart truly, and for his actions to be acceptable, then certainly after, he says like this, he says this parenthetic, he says that if you want to be in that zone, then certainly after you go to the mikvah on Shabbos with the right kavanas to receive the Kiddush of Shabbos, then he will understand that he has receive this extra neshama, because he will feel in his soul the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has come to him, until there will be inflamed within him a love and fear of Hashem. He says this is tried and tested with many people many times without any doubt. Okay, however, if his soul is not purified, in other words, if you don't go to the mikvah, he will not feel the Kedusha of Shabbos. Boom, that's it. So that's a, now again, you know, a person can have Shabbos and not feel it. There's the cholent and kishka, gefilte fish and sleeping aspect of Shabbos that everybody can enjoy. And we're not saying that's nothing, but it's a far cry from what the Shabbos is meant to give you. It's meant to give you a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you don't feel a whole week long. So requires many different things to be able to get to that, and one of them is going to the mikvah. Okay, and it needs the right kavanah. You just can't go in the mikveh and just jump in and jump out and, you know, think at all about it. But you have to have the right kavanah that you are attempting to pick up, strip away the focus of the physical and bring in the focus of the spiritual. And then through the mitzvah, the mikveh, then Hashem will help you. And then he's going to town on this idea. Then he brings many Sifrei Musar and Halacha on this. Whole slew of people. Okay. And we'll see. Even though the Mishnah Berurah didn't mention it, but he will mention it in Simin Tov Kuf Nun Aleph, where Mishnah Berurah will mention that. But anyway, to talk about the great virtues of going to a mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And you find this even written in one of the Svarim of the early Rishonim. And it's based also on a Zohar, which where the beginning of the entrance of the extra soul in a person comes with the mikvah. And that's almost as if one has already begun to do Kabbalah Shabbos. So that's critical. And based on the Kisvei Arizal, it's preferable. It's better that the going to the mikvah should be closer to the entrance of Shabbos as much as possible, but you shouldn't lose out by that because of that. For example, that you can't wash yourself and bathe yourself, or it's going to be very crowded in the mikvah, and therefore, for many, it's better to precede the time to go to the mikvah. Go to the mikvah late; it's so crowded, and people are it's. You lose that atmosphere you're looking for, so you can go earlier. But, he says, you can do it earlier. He says, even if you're going to do it before Chatzos, if you feel there's no other way to do it, interesting, they bring down in the Shaar Kavanos that there are times that the Arizal will go to the mikvah before Chatzos, at the beginning of the fifth hour in hours, like we're talking. Remember, we've already talked about that idea of 31 hours of Shabbos, right? So you have 7 hours before Shabbos, so that would be at the end of the fifth hour, the beginning of the sixth hour, whatever. So you could begin that early as well, going to the mikvah. And if a person is not well or circumstances beyond his control, then he could even go on Thursday. Everything depends on the situation. But if you're going to the mikvah before Chatzos, it's preferable to wash your hands and face in hot water closer to Shabbos. Nice to get some washing done after Chatzos. Okay, what else do we have over here? He brings from the Sefer Reishis Chachma that after a person has gone to the mikvah, he should not be engaged in any work. But let's say you're going to go to the mikvah early, if that's what you're going to do, or whatever it is. If that's the entrance way for the neshama yisera to come into the person, then at that point, it's not like, okay, I'm going to the mikvah, then go back to the office and take care of some work. No, you now, when you come out of the mikvah, you now are in Shabbos mode. So if it's 2 hours before Shabbos, 3 hours before Shabbos, you prepare yourself for the Shabbos. And, for example, it's proper after going to the mikvah, a person should be engaged in studying Torah until Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what the Reishis Chachma says. Then it brings others for him. So again, it brings from others, from Rav Shlomo Kluger, that Rav Shlomo Kluger, he would write his Chidushei Torah after going to the mikvah, after studying a whole week. And now he wants to put down in print what were his new insights from Torah. That would be after the mikvah. Obviously, he's got the Neshama Yisera coming in already, so the insights are coming in, because he has Siyata Deshmaya to come to the proper understanding of Torah. So that's where the mikvah becomes an important thing. Okay, continuing the Piskei Tshuva over here on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, a mitzvah to bathe yourself. So he says, lichatchila, person should wash his body first and afterwards go into the mikvah. That's he brings down lichatchila. Sure, boy. And but you don't have to be particular about that. And in a situation where it's necessary, you can wash your entire body after going to the mikvah. According to the Kabbalah from the Arizal, it's proper to not dry your body from the water, the mikvah. Just let it dry by itself. But most people do not have that custom because it's very difficult to be in that state to wait until all the water has dried off. But still in all, at least leave one part of the body that's not been dried off from you. Now, how many times do you immerse yourself in the mikvah? So there's many customs. He says, Ruba da Alma, most of the customs. That's brought down a Sefer Yisod V'Shar Shavoda. He says, it's also the Mincha Shabbos. He says, to go four times, dip four times. And what's that corresponding to? The four letters of Hashem's name. Yud Hey, Vav Hey. Okay. And as well, he says like this. The first time you go into the mikvah, you should have in mind, as it were, to strip off the Zoyama, that focus on desiring physicality with no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Zoyama. That's that taint. So as you go, the first time you go in water, you want to wash that away, as it were. Second time is, as it were, that you're stripping away your weekday garments. Third time, you should be thinking of Kavod Shabbos. And the fourth time, you should take a little step back and have the idea of the pasuk, Im Tashiv Mishavas Raglecha, if you will desist from the way you normally walk, etc., Kipi Hashem Diber, for the mouth of Hashem has been speaking. You should have in mind that pasuk. And all the tefillos should be as you're bending towards the west. Okay, interesting. So you have to now bring a little compass to figure where you're dipping in the mikvah, in which direction it is. So that's why at least Sam in the flamingo mikvah. So when you go into the mikvah, just facing towards the changing room, like to where you just changed from, facing in that direction, that is west. And usually they make a mikvah in a way. You go down the stairs and then you just going forward.
Why west and not east?
Listen, it's all Kabbalistic stuff. So I can't tell you, doesn't give any. Well, it could be you want to greet, just like by Kabbalah Shabbos, right at the end, we turn around and we face west. Shechina is coming. Why right at the davening and the Kabbalah Shabbos?
Yeah, we
turn around to greet the queen. The queen is coming. So maybe you're trying to look in that direction of where it would be coming from. I don't know. And when you go out of the mikvah, you should take a little step backwards. I don't know how you get out by taking a step backwards, but don't run out, as it were. Now, you have to be also particular when you go to the mikvah, just like all the laws, you have to be careful when you go to a bathhouse and not saying Torah or things like that, and even to not say the word Shalom or other words of Kedusha. Shalom is one of Hashem's names. You don't say Shabbat Shalom when you're in the mikvah. Many people make these errors. They shouldn't be saying those things. And you should also, in general, refrain from not saying words that are not necessary. Right. You can go to some mikvahs and that's the meeting place. You want to know what's going on in the city. So a lot of times, all kinds of different people. You only see in the mikvah. You say, oh, what's going on? Well, you should have heard the latest hak. This one's this. That's not the place for that. A man, you shouldn't go to the mikvah with your father or your father-in-law. Different certain people. And a Talmud should not bathe by his Rebbe unless the Rebbe needs him to help him. All right. Let's move on now. Next piece of Piskei Tshuva, who's on the point of to cut your nails on Erev Shabbos. They bring down the custom that Arizal was to go to the mikvah and afterwards to cut his nails. That was the custom of the Arizal. Okay, and however, in other Sfarim, they bring down first to cut the nails and then to go to the mikvah. And it's also brought to another svarim. And that's the minig. So there's different minhagim on this. I don't remember who it was, which tzaddik. I do not remember. There's an interesting story that one of the chassidim once went to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, do you go to the mikvah first and cut the nails? You cut the nails and then go to the mikvah. So I guess this Rebbe, you know, was feeling that the chassid was being overzealous. And like certain things are not really that important. But anyway, he says, well, if you want to know the answer to that question, well, you're going to have to fast 3 days and go to the mikveh 10 times. I don't have all the details, but prepare yourself spiritually to hear this answer. Whatever. So the guy does it. He says, okay. So then and come to me right before Shabbos. So it's okay. Does all that. He says, Rabbi, so what do we do? I go to the mikveh first and then cut my nails. He says, and what's the reason, Rebbe? Very simple. You go to the mikvah, you soften up the nails, so that it's easier to cut them off afterwards. So no Kabbalistic stuff at all. It just works out better. Anyway, so, but either there seem to be customs on either end of that. Now, what about reading Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, that one is obliged to do every week? So based on the Kabbalah, the Rizal, it should be before you go to the mikvah, because when you finish reading the Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, you bring a flow of power into your soul to receive the lights of the Shabbos that come through mikvah. So the way that Rizal at least said, but then again, there's different customs how you read Shnai Mikra. You know, cut the nails, then do Shnai Mikra, then go to the mikvah. That was their Rizal's order, but certainly if that doesn't work for you. But it seems that you should have the Shnai Mikra finished, because that's another preparation for the Shabbos, going through the entire Torah portion. So for those, so the simple way is every day do one section, so you're not overwhelmed with the whole parsha. But many do the whole part. You're wondering, what's there going to have Shabbos? What could I do to prepare for Shabbos? I just took a shower. I'm ready for Shabbos. So you already have it. Going through the Parsha twice with the Targum, you know, and cutting your nails and going to the mikvah, we're already adding on lots of minutes. Going to the mikvah at least is going to take 40 minutes out of your day till you drive to the mikvah, drive back from the mikvah, go into the mikvah, shower in the mikvah. Take all that. That's already a good section of the preparation for the Shabbos. Also, right, it's proper to precede the cutting of the nails and the reading of Shnei Mikra before Chatzos Hayom, if at all possible. But after Chatzos is also okay. And some say no, the closer the Shabbos, the better it is, because it shows that it's more of a covered Shabbos. So, whatever works for you. Okay, so now focusing on cutting the nails. So if you look at, not in the Shulchan Aruch, but in his earlier Sefer, the Beis Yosef on his commentary on the Torah wrote that you should cut your nails kol Erev Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos. And that's many other Achronim write that. But that's the fingernails, not the toenails. You don't have to do that every Erev Shabbos. Just it shouldn't grow too long. Because mystically, long fingernails is a place where Tumah is able to rest. And some say as well that even the fingernails, you're not obliged to cut them every Erev Shabbos if they don't grow that fast. Some people, they grow like wild, and others, doesn't grow that much after 1 week. So, the way you could tell is if the fingernail goes beyond your flesh. All right, so I did my nails last Friday.
Still okay.
Yeah, doesn't seem to go beyond that. And it becomes a little difficult to cut the nails when there's very little to cut. But although certainly it's a better mitzvah if you cut them every Erev Shabbos, as the poskim write on every Erev Shabbos. The Eli Rabba brings down from the Medrash that's brought down the Torah that one time there was a rabbi who passed away, and then he came to his student in a dream, and you can see there was a big stain on his forehead in the dream, and he says, why did that happen? Because he wasn't careful from not speaking during the bracha, Me'ein Sheva, during Kabbalah Shabbos. Magen Avos, Bivaro, that whole thing. He wasn't careful about that. And he also wasn't careful to cut his fingernails on Erev Shabbos. So that's why he got punished, as it were. So that's something you want to take care of. Okay, moving on. We talked about the Ramah saying we don't cut them in order. And we went through the order yesterday, right? Left hand starting with which one?
Fourth
one? No, this one. Two. This one?
That's yeah, this
and
one,
the right that's hand the starting with this
pointing,
one.
Then this
second one.
One.
Then right, one. That's how we did that. Why? He says, if you cut them in a straight order, there is a danger of forgetting your Torah, as we said. I think we mentioned that in the Mishnah, right? And to bury your children in your lifetime and for poverty, and you get a bad name. And he says, the Abu Dram says, the acronym to remember, he gave a different acronym, is, he says, Kashia. But it's going to be too hard to understand what it means. It means kmitza small, the kmitza finger. This is the kmitza finger when they coined it, the kmitza. Right? Right?
Three, yeah.
Right? Three. So kmitza small, left hand. Yamin, the right hand, etzpa. So kasha, kuf, shin, yud, aleph. Kashya, kmitza small, yamin, etzpa. And there, some are right. Therefore, the Ramah writes, he wrote the left hand before the right hand, but it doesn't have to dafka be there. In other words, which one do you do first?
Left hand.
So it would appear you should be doing the left hand first. However, what was the simon that the Ramah gave?
Dib.
What did he say?
The left hand first.
Left hand.
He says, the Ramah says, start with the left hand with the kmitza and with the right hand with the etzba, and he gave that simen, his simen starting with the left and then moving to the right. Right? And what do we have with this guy's simen? Also left to the right. So that, okay. Okay, but it doesn't have to dafka be that way. Okay, even though that's the way the simen was given, the way he gave the sign, all the signs seem to be the left, right?
Yeah.
And he says v'yaschul b'smol, right? Ramah says to start doing your left hand before the right hand. However, but it's not bedafka. And ad rabba, just like you usually start the right over the left, so it would be for cutting fingernails. You'd appear, why not start with the right, not the left? However, according to many of the Kabbalists and those poskim, that we do the left hand first, the dafka. All right, at the end of the day, you won't lose out either way, but it seems this is all a Kabbalistic thing anyway. So I guess go with the Kabbalists and start with the left hand. It doesn't really make a difference.
With the toenails, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. They didn't. I'll have to take a look.
About that
so
anyway.
Far, I haven't seen anything.
No.
All the poskim bring the words of the Rishonim, the Arizal. Look at this. Okay, many that said there's no place to be particular about skipping it, but many disagree with this whole thing. It says you don't have to skip the nails, but still in all the Magid of Ram concludes, and other later Achram concludes, you should be particular chatchila. And you know what? I don't remember this one. That I don't, so as long as but you ever just don't do them in order, then it'll be also
alternated.
Okay.
Okay,
but in many Rishonim we feel how you should skip it and whatever. Okay, so in other words, let's put it this way: is it going to matter? You got to cut all 10 anyway. Sometimes you know the machlokas gets a little harder. It's not any harder. It doesn't get any longer to cut them in this order. And there's no opinion that says you shouldn't do it in this order. So then might as well do it in the order. So your question, how am I going to remember? Well, it's just simple.
Right?
You start with this one and alternate, and then you start with that one alternate. You're done. It's easy to remember. If for whatever reason you blank out, you can't remember, you know. So, okay, just don't go in order. That's at least that. And if you don't, you have opinions to rely on. Oh, so what about the toenails, Sammy?
Mm-hmm.
So we had toenails. There are those say you don't have to be particular at all about that, and you can go in order. That's the Ksos HaShulchan. Chazanish. Darkei Moshe. Hanoitel Tzvar V'yodov. Prisha Bach. Okay, anyway, there are those who are particular, but there's less halachic weight to be particular, but then again, there's no reason why you can't. But there's less halachic force to be particular on that. Now, what about those who say you don't cut your fingernails and toenails on one day?
Mm-hmm.
And we said better to cut your toenails on Thursday and your hands on Friday. Again, the reason for that, you don't do it, it's a sakana, whatever that danger is. Again, it helps, it makes you forget your learning. It's also a sakana. It's interesting. The Ketos HaShulchan writes, but what about women who have to go to the mikveh, for example? There you don't do that. Women do all that all in one time before you go to the mikveh. But that, okay, that is a specific mitzvah, so you don't have to worry about any negative things happening. So a woman can do it all before she goes to the mikveh. Also, he brings down from the Arizal that we see he was not particular about that, and he would cut his fingernails and toenails at the same time in Erev Shabbos, the Arizal. But the world is particular about this, and perhaps, and one should be even particular, even on one nail on one hand and one nail on one toe. You don't do that on one day, even if it's just one. Okay, now, again, he mentions the night follows the day in this way as well, just like everything else. So, therefore, you couldn't do it Thursday night and Friday, one set and the other. It would still be one day, but you could, right? So that's a problem. However, they bring down from certain Gedolim and Tzadikim that on Erev Chag HaShavuos, you're allowed l'chadchila to cut them both on the same day. Why? Because the Jewish people are preparing themselves before Hashem for Kabbalah HaTorah, like a woman who prepares herself to go to the mikveh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like we're going to the mikveh, as it were, so we're allowed to do that. Okay, now we talked about the idea of the different ways of discarding your nails. We mentioned the three positions over there. But he said even where women do not, we said where women aren't around, you could leave the nails there because there's no problem with pregnant ladies stepping on it.
Men can step on them too, yeah, and get in trouble.
No, they're not going to miscarry, right?
Okay,
that's the whole point. Where I said the woman will miscarry, but he says either. But at the end, he says over here, he says it's better not to throw them around,
that's
even
right,
in a men's place, and you shouldn't leave it on your clothing, etc. The minhag of the chassidim and people who are particular are to wrap them up immediately after you cut them in a little piece of paper, and to put two little pieces of wood over there, and to burn them right away. Burn them, right? But nowadays, we just throw them in the bathroom, and that's fine. And it's even better than burying it. But anybody who does burn them and totally destroys them from the world causes peace and rachamim in the world. Okay? Now, what about non-Jewish fingernails? That has no power to harm. So you don't have to be careful of what non-Jews do with their toenails. Interesting.
Pregnant woman saw those. She wouldn't distinguish between those and Jewish fingernails.
I understand. Well, I guess there's some Kabbalistic things involved as well. There's a little bit more Piskei Tshuva on this, which we'll have to leave until Monday, Mirtz Hashem.